The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you, Andrew. And thank you to everyone here. It's great to be here. Ooh, that's a little bit much. I'm amazed just how God has brought all this together. I was just sitting here during the prayer time thinking, wow, I don't really need to say much. We kind of covered it. It just blows me away the way God brings all that stuff together. And he continues to do it. I've seen it from the worship perspective, and I've seen it now from the preaching perspective. And a tip, if you're ever preaching, don't sing too hard. So if I cough and splutter, it's because I was getting carried away in the worship, but it's all good.
Water?
I'll get some. Thank you, Kaylin. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. So Andrew's already mentioned that Rangeville's been focusing on strategies for becoming a healthy, kingdom-minded church over the past couple of years. Thank you, sir. And that's been in support of the mission and the vision that we have here at Rangeville. Our vision says that we're all about releasing the kingdom. So why? You know, we have to ask the question, why? Why all this attention on the kingdom of God? Why is it so important? Let's have a look at Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. From Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So what's at the top of Jesus' priority list in life for us? What does it say? Seek first the kingdom. That's the top thing in his priority list for us. And then we have this instruction from Paul in Colossians chapter 3. "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So according to Paul, where's our focus supposed to be? Above. Okay? It's all about the kingdom. So if Jesus and Paul see the kingdom as important, don't you think we should too? What about perspective? The way we look at things in our lives? Jeff's had an awesome perspective on what happened in his workplace. Anyone care to identify these everyday objects? Guesses? It's something that we use to eat. It's a food, I'll give you that much.
Looks like pies.
Pies? No, it does, but it's not. There you go. What about this one? Yes, well done. There it is. Yep, not as close as the last one, so a bit easier to work that one out. And then the next one, something that we use fairly commonly here at Rangeville in worship. It is. Thank you, Ryan. Well done. It's the top of a guitar head with the tuner up close. Okay? Yeah. This one's a bit more difficult. It's going to set your world on fire, this one, yeah? Oh, look at that. Simple matchstick. Now, last one. Sorry? No, it's not a piano. Thank you. Well done. Did you see this before I did this? So a close-up of the pages of a book. So that just gives you an idea how sometimes we can see things differently to what we think they might be. And sometimes it's actually difficult to understand what we're looking at unless we can see it from the right perspective. Okay? So if the kingdom is all important and having the right perspective is helpful to give us a better understanding of what we're seeing, what would it be like for us to have a kingdom perspective? Okay? So that's a huge topic. I'm not going to cover it all in what we're working through tonight. Instead, I just want to ask four questions and seek to answer them in a way that we can take hold of and apply in our own lives. First question, what is kingdom perspective? Second one, what would cause us to want to see things from God's perspective? Third one, what's required to see from a kingdom perspective? And the last one, a little bit more applicable, what situations in my life do I need to get God's perspective on? So let's dive in. First one, what's kingdom perspective? So here's my attempt at a definition. This is not absolutely definitive, okay? Seeing everything, life, circumstances, events, relationships, other people, and even ourselves, the way that God sees it. Through the truth of his revealed word to us and the empowering of the Holy Spirit within us. I'll read that again. Seeing everything, all of those things that I listed, the way that God sees it, through the truth of his revealed word to us and the empowering of the Holy Spirit within us. This is not a view that gets skewed or distorted by our own worldly perceptions. And that's not to say that we shouldn't use our natural senses and the intellect that God has given us, just that these two need to be filtered through the lens of a kingdom mindset that is based in truth. The Father sees all of his creation, including mankind, from a position of perfect love, absolute authority, rulership, and dominion. And we need to understand our position in him and see that he commissioned us to be his reflection on the earth and have dominion over it. Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, even though we know that sin has damaged man's position, in Christ, the good news is that we are restored to direct relationship with the Father as his sons and daughters. We're raised to new life in Christ, to rule and reign with him from a kingdom position. Paul gives us this assurance in his letter to the church at Ephesus. So Ephesians chapter 2 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's the position that he has given us as his children and co-heirs with Christ. What would cause us to want to see things from God's perspective? Well, surely it has to look better than what we see in the natural, right? We can look at the world and go, ugh. But if we see through God's heart of love for his creation, we see his intentions, his purposes, and not just the despair and the hopelessness of worldly decay and God-given free will that has descended into rebellion, idolatry, and self-centeredness. So as an example, we might be able to look at words or actions that would have caused us offence or even trauma in the past through God's heart of love for the person involved and see that they're simply acting out of their own brokenness and need for God's redeeming grace. In that place of seeing them through God's eyes, we might be able to release a word of love, forgiveness, or even peace that plants a kingdom seed in their life instead of just reacting out of our old self's carnal nature. We also need to understand that God wants us to see and know about his perspective. In Matthew 13, Jesus is teaching the crowds in parables, and his disciples come to him and ask, why do you always speak to people in these hard-to-understand parables? He explained, you've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not. For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have, will be taken from them. What an incredible promise that Jesus gives us here. That if we listen with an open heart, we'll receive more and more revelation of the kingdom of heaven until we have more than enough. The trick is, are we listening? Yeah? Are we opening our heart to hear his voice and to receive his revelation? Or are we self-focused, only seeing our circumstances and all our worldly problems, lost in anxiety or despair over things we can't even control? A large part of taking hold of a kingdom perspective is about submitting to his lordship over all things and his kingdom purposes for our lives. And to personalise it, that means that it's not about me, not about what I can get from God so that I can have a better day or a better life now that I've got my ticket to heaven. If that's our attitude, then our relationship with God is only going to be as good as our circumstances dictate. Does that make sense? It's a hard question. I do around 3 to 4 ministries a week in my role in Freedom Life, and we see a steady stream of beautiful Christ-following people who've had their relationship with God damaged to varying degrees by circumstances because they've allowed life to speak louder than truth. Now that might sound like a harsh or even a callous statement, and I don't want to minimise the hardships and trauma that can and do occur in our lives. Some of these people that we see through the ministry have suffered unspeakable abuse that has left spiritual, emotional and physical scars in their lives. There are others who've been through the pain of divorce, the death of loved ones, rejection or betrayal by those who should have loved and protected them, the loss of financial stability, or they carry the weight of their own guilt and shame for the things that they've done. These are things that do need the healing and restoration that can only come from Father God. The issue is that they and we sometimes become so consumed by the problem, so focused on what we see, that we forget who we belong to and who's on our side. My role in that ministry is to point people to the immovable truth that none of these things change who God is or who they are in him. His love for them is not diminished in any way by the things that have happened to them or the things that they have done. Their position as precious children of the King is not in jeopardy in any way due to their life circumstances. In the middle of the hard seasons in our lives, and we all go through them, it can be really difficult for us to see God as a loving Father. We're not always going to get it right. Hey, I haven't. And that's why we need to cling to the truth that he's revealed to us in his word and not lean on any understanding of our own. Yeah? We can come to him openly and honestly and say, God, I don't understand this, but I choose to submit to who you are. I choose to thank you for who I am in you and for the kingdom plans and purposes that you have for my life. God, help me to recognize that even though my situation looks bad to me, you are still in control and nothing can separate me from your love. So, is our view of life based on our circumstances or what we think we need, our success in life, maybe what possessions we have, or even always seeking to be blessed? Sorry, I don't want to, you know, make that sound terrible, but sometimes that's what we feel like we're owed as Christians, that we have this blessed life. But I don't think Jesus promised us that entirely. What if being born again wasn't about just ensuring our eternal place in the kingdom? What if it was about the kingdom coming into me? Here, now, to transform me, to be all that God intended me to be so that he can shine out of me. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's not about me anymore, it's about God in me. That's a great place to be. If we're made to be the reflection of God's image in the earth, then we need to represent the same attributes of his character that he has demonstrated to us. So we need to get to know him. Who is God? What has he done for us? How do we shine that? Yeah? We need to let go of our worldly perspective and understanding. Put to death the old man with his old thinking. And put on the new man who embraces kingdom-mindedness so that we can see a bigger picture outside of ourselves. If we want to release the kingdom of God, we need to see things from a kingdom perspective. So here's the next question. What's required to see things from a kingdom perspective? Now, I've already given some hints about this question, before I answer, I'd like to have a look at an example of kingdom perspective in Paul's life. And we find this in his letter to the church at Rome. So this is from Romans 9. O Israel, my Jewish family, I feel such great sorrow and heartache for you that never leaves me. God knows these deep feelings within me as long as I long for you to come to faith in the Anointed One. My conscience will not let me speak anything but the truth, for my grief is so intense that I wish I would be accursed, cut off from the Messiah, if it would mean that you, my people, would come to faith in him. Now this clearly shows Paul's grief over the nation of Israel, that they haven't recognized Jesus as the Messiah and put their faith in him. And he goes on in the next two chapters to demonstrate that God is God, and his ways and choices are not in man's hands, and that righteousness comes through faith in him, not through our works. He also says that this faith-based righteousness is available to all who believe, not just the Jewish people. Paul also reminds his readers that God will fulfill his promises to the nation of Israel. And then in the first part of chapter 11, he says this. So, am I saying that Israel has stumbled so badly that they'll never get back up? Certainly not. Rather, it was because of their stumble that salvation now extends to all the non-Jewish people in order to make Israel jealous and desire the very things that God has freely given them. So if all the world is being greatly enriched through their failure and through their fall, great spiritual wealth is given to the non-Jewish people, imagine how much more will Israel's awakening bring to us all. So we see here that even though a few chapters earlier, Paul, in his anguish, was saying he wished he could be cut off from the Messiah if it meant that Israel came to faith in Jesus, he is also seeing a bigger picture, that because of their stumble, salvation comes to all people, and that God's intent through this is to make the Jewish people jealous of what he's given to the non-Jews. Now, Paul's referring back to Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, where the Lord says that he will make his people jealous through the Gentiles because of Israel's rejection of him as their God. Paul clearly recognizes how the Lord is using the current circumstances, what looked hopeless to him, to fulfill prophecy and to draw Israel back to himself. And because of his kingdom perspective, even though he's grieved, he knows that God will not give up on his chosen nation and that he's also fulfilling his wonderful plan of salvation for all mankind. So what can we learn from Paul? God is sovereign. Can't change God. We can let him change us. We need to see God's plans, both through Scripture, as Paul saw in prophecy, and through Revelation, and align ourselves with him in that. So how do we do this? What is our proper response? So now we come to this amazing pivot point in the book of Romans, and a couple of my favorite verses in Scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the answer to our question, what is required to see from a kingdom perspective, is, let's keep this really simple, we need to offer ourselves as fully devoted servants in obedience to Christ, no longer conforming to our worldly viewpoint, and have a renewal of our thinking or mindset that transforms our paradigm or worldview from natural to supernatural, from earthly to kingdom. You got that? Easy, right? Sure, they all say. Offer ourselves, fully devoted, servants, obedience. Don't conform to the old. Renew our thinking, transform our paradigm, our understanding, moving from natural to supernatural, moving from earthly to kingdom. Not easy, of course, but definitely important for us in our walk. We also need to understand that this is a process. It's a journey that happens as we mature in our faith. So don't be discouraged if you don't get it right all the time. I don't. We aim for that. And we ask for God's grace in it. but we need to grow in it, mature in it. Okay, into the practical stuff. What situations in my life do I need to get God's perspective on? Well, the obvious answer is everything. Okay. But we'll try and, you know, narrow it down to a few examples here, because we need to make it personal for each of our lives, okay? There are things going on in all of our lives that are different to every person, and God has built us all unique. But here's a few examples to just help us get the idea. You're in a job. You can't stand it. Maybe you've got a bad boss, you've got bad workmates, or maybe it's just so mundane that you're tearing your hair out with boredom. Maybe it feels like a dead end, no prospects for advancement. Is your prayer in that situation, God, get me out of here, please get me a better job? Or perhaps you love what you do, but you're struggling to tolerate the people you have to work with. Maybe your prayer is, God, take them out, replace them, move them somewhere else, away from me. What if the good works that God prepared beforehand, like Paul says in Ephesians 2, are that he wants you to stay and release his kingdom right where you are? We've had some examples of that tonight. I love it. What if he's called you to be the only light in that dark place? How does that change your perspective on how you act on a daily basis? I'm not going to answer that, because that's something you need to think about, because it means that what we do needs to come from that kingdom perspective. Okay? Another example. Perhaps you're struggling with a difficult relationship with a key person in your life. It could be a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a boss, or a colleague. Maybe they've attacked your character or betrayed you in some way. They might have leveled unjust accusations against you. Or if it's someone who's really close to you, maybe they just haven't loved you the way they should have. Will you let life and circumstances speak louder than the truth of who God says you are? And if God says love keeps no record of wrongs, how much longer are you going to keep score? What if his perspective is that the person who has offended you is just as lost and broken as you once were, and is desperately in need of a minister of reconciliation? Now, that can be a hard road to walk, but it's really important that we have that thought in our mind, that the people who are hurting us are just as lost and broken as we once were. What about prayer? We've been praying into some stuff tonight that is heading towards this kingdom perspective. But how would a kingdom perspective change our prayers? Instead of asking God for what we think we need, we could be asking God for what his will is in this situation. Let's take the drought as one example. It's not necessarily absolutely personal to any one of us, but it's a good example, I think. There's nothing wrong with asking God for rain. But have we asked what he thinks about our situation, the drought? As many of you know, I ride a motorbike, and I love going for longer rides whenever I get the chance. It's a great opportunity to appreciate God's creation, which I just love doing. And I occasionally have the chance to talk with him about things while I'm riding, depending on how busy the traffic is. A few times over the last few weeks, as I've been riding through our ridiculously dry country, I've had a strong sense of God's grief over the land and how we failed to look after it the way he intended. He gave us dominion, but we've abused that position for our own selfish gain and material wealth, and we've continued to take from the land to the point of exhaustion. My sense is that God could send rain, but wouldn't we just simply continue along in the same vein anyway? So the kingdom perspective might be, as well as asking God for rain, should we be crying out for a revelation and restoration of how we should steward his creation? So there's some examples to get you thinking. Three, simple, but just puts your head in a different space, yeah? There's one other thing a couple of other things I want to point out. One is, it's important that we realise that we don't have to do this alone, you know, to hear God or to get that kingdom perspective on our own. We're part of the body of Christ, and we can seek the wisdom and counsel of others. God can speak through them into our situation to help give us his perspective. And finally, here's some thoughts to take away to help you on the journey of discovering a kingdom perspective. A couple of questions. God, what are you saying or doing? And how do you see my current situation? What's our response? Listen. Last question. Lord, what do you want me to do with that? Obey. Do. Let's pray. Thanks, team. Father, I want to thank you. No matter what we see in life, you always see the bigger picture and your kingdom purposes. Father, help us to learn to see the way that you see, so that, like Jesus, we'll be able to say, I only do what I see the Father doing. Father, we thank you that we are part of this wonderful family and that you can speak through each and every one of us, to each and every one of us, and that you can also teach us through your word and through your Holy Spirit living inside us. God, we ask that you would continue to grow us, mature us into our faith so that we can cling to the words that you say as truth, unshakable, immovable, and that our hope is in that truth, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Liam.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.